The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Glory. It's smelling already. Strong in the atmosphere. Amen. If we don't get blessed in some way, God should punish you. No, for real. Amen. Glory. I'll teach for a very short time today because I'm coming for you on Thursday. Expect great things for God or from God. Attempt the final part. Abi, have you been getting blessed? Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. So on Thursday, I started showing us, just straight to the point, what to expect from God. And I was looking at the fact that it's good to expect to be blessed of God in Christian meetings. Proverbs 23 and verse 18. You should have memorized this scripture by now. I've been quoting it every day now for like 6 services. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. So this is the point I ask you. Do you come to Christian meetings with expectations? For instance, you are seated here this morning. Did you walk into this place with an expectation? Because the thing about it is, every time we gather like this, something is happening. Whether you know or not, someone is getting blessed. Whether you know or not, someone is receiving direction from God. Whether you know it or not, someone is getting healed. Are you following me, somebody? So the question is, what are your expectations? And if you don't have any expectation from God, you're not going to get anything. And that's not because God doesn't want to give you anything, because you're not expecting anything. And He will give you exactly what expectations are. And so if your expectation is nothing, He will give you nothing. So you know, when God doesn't give you anything, He's actually being true to His word. Because your expectation is nothing. So He gave you, are you still here? So let me ask you, neighbor, do you have an expectation? Talk to the person. The person is not going to beat you. Ask the person, do you have an expectation? Amen. Glory to God. Smile at your neighbor. Some of you, you've not smiled in a very long time. Try. I know fuel is expensive, but I know dollar is high, but smile. Thank you. Just force it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so on Thursday, I was showing us that we should expect revelation. We should expect it. Remember that if you're not here on Thursday, you missed. And you will keep missing, except to start coming. Amen. Amen. So you should say revelation. What's revelation? Expect understanding. That as the word will be taught, you will have perfect understanding. Again, I say you should expect edification. That word is oikodomeo. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. It means to build up. It means to build up. Are you following me? It means to build up. In other words, when you're coming to Christian meetings, coming to Zoe, one of your biggest expectations should be that you are going to get better. You know, what many of us describe as testimonies after meetings is that, oh, they say God healed. Well, all that will happen. But the greatest miracle you should be going home with from Zoe is that you became better and stronger in your walk with God. Say amen. That this habit fell off. That your prayer life got stronger. That your study life became stronger. That's the testimony. So if you finish going for Zoe and you still have a habit, put it in your expectation. As I'm coming, the last I'll say that habit will be the face that came to Zoe. Are you following me, somebody? I'm trusting that you're going to have a stronger prayer life. I've been praying for 15 minutes, and before we are done, I'm tired. I'm expecting that in Zoe, prayer fire will fall on me. So your expectation, one of your biggest expectations, when you come for Christian meetings, you see, it should be that there will be edification for you. Again, I say that the expectation you must have in Christian meetings, that you must expect sinners to be saved.
And I told you that Lord said to me that in Zoe this year, we are going to make a lot of altar calls. Remember I said that? And so bring in the sinners. I told you, stop inviting people to church who already, of course, it's not bad, but don't just focus on people who are already saved. Get to the streets, bring in the drunkards. Don't worry, the power of God will arrest them. It's not glory cloud. They will be saved. Hallelujah. We're going to record salvation in all the sessions. Say amen. As the Lord will lead me, we're going to make altar calls as the Lord will lead me. So, expect needs to be met. Expect direction to a minister, such that if you came to Zoe and you were confused about any area of your life, Zoe will be the end of that confusion. To the end that before the end of the meeting, somehow you will see what you must do. So, and not just Zoe, every Christian meeting you attend, even this morning, expect direction. Expect spiritual gifts to be distributed too. You know, it should be that after Zoe, your hands became better with healing the sick. Your tongues became stronger. So for all the tongues you'll be speaking has been la 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 la, bo 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 bo, ta 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 ta. You know, but you know, after Zoe, you begin to speak with different syllables. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that you love listening to use our tongues? You have friends like that. When they start speaking, they're just like, God. Is it the same? Is it the same spirit that touched me? That touched these people. Hallelujah. You know, expect that something's going to get better. Not just that your tongues will be stronger, that there will now be perfect interpretation. Somehow you begin to know what you are saying. You begin to prophesy. Hallelujah. So don't come to this meeting just expecting nothing. And these things can happen at any time in the meeting. That's why I began to show you on that day how to prepare. One of the ways to prepare for a meeting is that you must prepare before the meeting. And on Thursday, I took them to show you what you must do before any meeting. Okay, like I showed you on Thursday, before any meeting, you must plan ahead. You know, I want to say that again. Plan. Watch your neighbor say, plan ahead. Touch person and say, plan ahead. Iron your clothes early. Are you getting me? If not, so I'm talking to the ladies now. You've not made your hair. It's not Thursday morning. Same, just do it sharp, sharp. Where are all these my hairstylists in this church? Contact them already. Position yourself. Contact them already. Don't, but now this is a joke. We are joking now, but we are very serious too. Some of these things are the reason why you don't get blessed in meetings. So you are rushing into the meeting, you are rushing in late, because you just went to make your hair. Your hair is still paining you. You are still in trouble. Some people are going to give their clothes. Now, some of you are planning to wear special clothes in Zoe. Nobody, I'm not saying it's wrong. I don't know why, but it's not wrong. But then, now, you're going to give the clothes to the teller on Wednesday. And on Friday night after healing line, he's going to bring it. And he brings it and you check it. And there's a problem. So he's going to take it back to go work on it again. Return it Saturday afternoon. He said there is a small adjustment. You will now come to Sunday service on your casual clothes. So you can now collect the clothes from the tailor and wear it in the toilet. Why are you like this? Why are you like this? I'm talking to you. Come on. Have some order. You know, the way I put it, I said, if you're planning for your wedding and it's a very important day for you, some ladies get their clothes set 1 month before the time. I get what I'm talking about. You see that wedding morning, ladies wake up. That part is not a different case. They wake up by 3 a.m. So start making up. Abi? 3, Abi? What time? 3 actually. Some people 4. If you woke up 4, you woke up late. Not the problem. They'll still come late. That's the height of it. You know, in this church, you have a pattern, you know, right? If you're wedding you in this church and you come late, you're going to pay. No, before you come for the wedding, you are going to pay first. Pay like 20K. If you now come early, we give it to you. If you come late, while we are waiting for you to arrive, we have to be eating. You know, so if we pay that money and come late, I don't know why are people like this. But my point is, you prepare ahead of time. Prepare your notes, prepare your offering, prepare, plan like you're going for something big. Just like Sunday morning now. Some people are walking in late this morning because it was this morning they found out that their clothes was ironed. Or you say, this clothes, I didn't know you had a tear. Why are you like this? Why is it this morning you found out? So plan ahead. Invite people, like I said, don't come to any meeting alone. Invite people. It's one of the ways you prepare. Plan your offering. Speak ahead of the meeting. Pray ahead of the meeting. Do all of this before you come. Now, let me get straight to today. When you now come to the meeting, I'll say four things. Or four broad stuffs. I will bless you. Amen. You know, I'm going to go for a rally today. So I'll just try to round up early. Because I tell you, by the time we arrive here, glory to God. By the time we arrive here on Thursday, fire will be falling. Ah, you get what I'm talking about? Fire will be falling. It's going to be such an amazing, amazing meeting. See, these 4 days, we will not recover. God is changing our ministry. You get the point? It's a new season. Hallelujah. So just get set. When it's a new season for our ministry, it's a new season for your life too. Because you are part of what God is doing here. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever left a Christian meeting here and then your life became better? Financially, otherwise, just find that after some meetings, so this began to just happen in your life. Just find that, this is now easier. The testimony we had this morning, and it was when I read the testimony, I even remember that conversation held on Wednesday. Because I asked about our finance. I said, don't worry, God is going to provide for you. Just a casual statement like this. I said, amen. And it's good to say amen. There's some of you that I pray for, but you don't have prayed for you. You say thank you. Don't thank you when I pray for you. You are traveling. I say, I'm going to have a safe trip. You say thank you. You think I'm wishing you well? I'm praying for you. Get the point? So when I tell everything will be fine, it's not thank you, sir. It's amen. Hallelujah. Because every word I say carries power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Are you following me? And so it's amen. I say, don't worry. You're going to, God's going to provide for you. And just the next morning, Thursday morning, okay, close the very huge deal, amen, and not just closing like we'll pay later, they pay, and that is the biggest deal her brand has ever closed. And I tell you, after Zoe, you will close your biggest deal yet. Well, let me say that again by the Holy Ghost. After Zoe, you will close your biggest deal yet. After Zoe, you will close your biggest deal yet. Put it up as part of your expectation for Zoe. After Zoe, I'm closing my biggest deal so far. Not for life, so far. Because more is coming. I say more is coming. Are you following me, somebody? And you know, I'm talking about deal that will not stress you. You know, there are deals you close, but you feel you are... Before the... deals that will not stress you. Glory to God. Say, that's me, that's me, that's me. Put your hand on your head. I don't have a blockhead. Say it again. You know, when you come to church often, you will have some of our slangs here. Say, I don't have a blockhead. Say it again. Say, prayer works on this head. Say, impartation works on this head. What else? Revelation. They work for this end. Blessing. They work for this end. I will not be a spectator in so way. I will not only listen to people's testimonies. People will listen to my testimony. I will come out here to testify. People will dance to my own testimony. Open your phone. Open your account balance. Look at it now. And laugh one last time. Because by this time on Sunday, look at it one more time. Open your app and laugh. No matter the amount that is there, laugh. Because by this time on Sunday, we will be laughing for real. We will be laughing for real. For the Lord would have changed our stories. Ha 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 ha. Woo! Look at that miserable amount. And whatever amount that is there is miserable. Because something better is coming. I am telling you. Whether I pray over this or not at Zoe, after Zoe, something better is going to come. Glory to God. Laugh again. Woo! You know what I heard in my spirit? Who is that mountain before Zerubbabel? You know what the Lord said to say to Zerubbabel? Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So you're asking, how will the money come?
By my spirit, says the Lord.
Mary said, how can I carry a baby when I have not known a man? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. So if the same thing I say, by my spirit, says the Lord. Are you going to send me somebody? Look at those rashes on your body. Baptized away, they will no longer be there. How? By my spirit. Are you following me, somebody? Look at that doctor's report they gave you. After so way, it is changing. By my spirit, we are going to record a case of a HIV patient healed in this place in so way. How? By my spirit. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Are you still here? Just sit for a moment. You guys are too expectant this morning. Wait for Zoe. If I bless you, I want to bless you. Just bless you, the blessing I want to bless you, Zoe. And you will not now come. So wait. So when you've arrived in the meeting, the first way to show that you have expectation in a Christian meeting is what we are practicing already this morning. You must be fully involved. I'm not talking about Zoe alone. Every Christian meeting you attend must be fully involved. And full involvement demands not just that you listen to me, but that you participate. Many of us have not learned how to participate in Christian meetings. We stand, you are sitting. We shout, you are quiet. We are writing, you are watching. That's wrong. Christian meetings, some say, oh, my heart is connected. The Bible actually did not say that you should just focus with your heart in meetings. The Bible shows that there are things you should do with your body in meetings. Let me show you one example. 1 Timothy 2 verse 8. Let me show you one example. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. Glory to God. I say glory to God. He said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. How should men pray? Lifting up holy hands. That hand is not spiritual. So that is a posture you pray with. I know what I'm talking about. If you read James, Bible tells us, First Kings first, Bible tells us that Elijah prayed and put his head between his knees. The Bible will be so careful to mention the posture. Jesus got a place and falling on his knees, he prayed. So you can't tell me, well, I mustn't be doing whatever. When you are involved in a meeting, there is an attitude to match it. He said, men should pray lifting up holy hands. Are you still here? Let me show you one more. Lifting up holy hands. In Hebrews 5 and verse 7, you look at the story of Jesus, as I've already quoted. Hebrews 5 and verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. So Jesus cried. So, you know, my point is that there are things to show that you are involved in the meeting. Most of us, you don't get blessed because you're not really involved. We're just sitting and watching and smiling. Jesus cried and prayed, like Bible said, strong crying and tears. Strong crying and tears. I already showed you something when I was teaching on taxes. In Nehemiah 8 verse 5, when they came to the temple, when it was time to read the law of God, he said, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, what happened? All the people stood up. So, the temple was not a place where you just do what you want to do. That is a way to participate in Christian meetings. You must be fully involved. There are times we stand. There are times we sit. There are times we dance. You must participate. It's not when we are singing and we are dancing, that's when you are moping. When we are praying, that's when you're on your phone. Or when you're on your phone, who are you chatting with? Who are you talking with? You won't even have data. That's the first thing that will happen to you. You know, some things will be a blessing. But that's the distraction. That's the distraction. When we are dancing, we are singing, we are doing opening prayer, somebody just moping. Somebody just sitting around. Or when it's now time to pray. This one we are praying. I love that some of us prayed, but this one of us was still coming up. You just see people standing around. You must be fully involved. That's how to, because I will show you when I'm rounding up. Faith as an attitude. Expectation as an attitude. Involvement as an attitude too. So when you are in church and you are involved, if you are involved during the praise session, how do you show it? You dance. If you are involved during the worship session, how do you show it? You lift your hands. If you are involved during the praise session, you pray. As I'm teaching now, if you are involved, you should be taking notes. You should be taking to stop that habit of going to any Christian meeting without your notes. Any Christian meeting. Your brain cannot carry everything I'm saying. I know something I told the leaders. I was telling them why you must take your notes very seriously. Because you see, everything I'm speaking, I'm saying by the anointing. But you know what? You're also under that anointing. So you're also writing by the anointing. That's why it is good that you go back and study your notes when you go, because those notes were made under the influence of the Spirit. I know what I'm talking about. So I'm speaking by the Spirit. You are writing by the Spirit. And that's why you go home and study your notes when you get home. You will see things that you didn't know that you wrote down. Have I gone through your notes that you made 6 months ago? And I wonder, am I the one that wrote this thing? You wrote it under the influence of the anointing. And so you take your writings very seriously. Are you following me this morning? So you get involved fully. Ezra wanted to read the law. Until he opened it, all the people stood up. So there is a way. Why do you think in this church, when we declare God's word, all of us stand up? It's not like we are hyperactive. And to even think about it, it stops you from sleeping. If I preach for 2 hours and you stand up like 7-10 times in the message, you cannot sleep. Except you are those that stand and sleep. I've met some interesting people in this my life. He says, stand up. They say, yes, sir. It changes nothing. They will stand. And you think they are standing and are sleeping partially. No. They are sleeping deeply. And somehow they don't fall. You stand. You know, the thing about sleeping in meetings, I was saying it on Thursday. You know, people that sleep in meetings have a particular attitude. Their shout is always different. When the president says, hallelujah! You know why they are shouting like that? They are trying to convince everybody that they are not sleeping. And those days when we were younger, we mastered how to sleep in church, shaking your leg. Can you do it? I can be sleeping and my leg is just shaking. You think, I'm not praying, no. I'm sleeping, sir. But you know what I think about sleeping in church? I've shared this story many times. A woman shared a story that counseled sleeping for me in Christian meetings. I don't know how to do it again. She said, I've told these guys this story many times. She said they were in a meeting, just in their room, praying, a group of them. They were praying into the night. And somewhere into the night, sleep, you know, when they pray that kind of prayer, people begin to take off one by one. People were sleeping one by one. So at the time, it was just about 4 of them. And somewhere into the night, they had a vision. It wasn't one person. A corporate vision where Jesus appeared to all of them at the same time. They all saw him. Interesting. Touched them. Everybody was seeing the same thing. Just like the Mount of Transfiguration. That thing sets that woman's life on course. She's a great woman today. That particular encounter. Touched her tongue. A lot of things happened. And somehow, the people did not wake up. Just like Peter. You don't ever wake up. That's how it works. So immediately everything stopped, and those guys were handling that, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Those guys wake up and say, Yakaba, Shakabaraka, Shakabaraka. It has passed. You don't sleep off in church. Discipline yourself. And you don't sleep off in church because you are tired. That's not the reason you're sleeping. You sleep off in church because you are irresponsible. I'm just telling you for free. Because you know the thing about it. Have you observed that when we hold vigils, people sleep in vigils. After the vigil, they stay awake. Is it not true? After the vigil, those who just close around 4, they will now open their eyes and start gisting and start watching film. No, that's the problem. Somebody said, I'm sleeping in church. Why? Because the message is too long. This person watches football through and through. He said, if football is engaging, that's the thing. God's word is boring. That's why you're irresponsible. Discipline yourself. Are you going to feel sleepy in church? Yes. Should you sleep it? Are you a slave to your body? Every time you feel sleep, you sleep. Some of you just, that's why you don't, that's a digression, but that's why you don't make progress in many things you are doing. You do anything your body wants. When you feel hungry, you can't eat immediately. When you feel sleepy, you sleep immediately. When you get tired, you stop. Why are you like that? You know, I was talking about growth on the first day. If you're going to grow in any area of your life, there are times you must get tired and you keep moving. I get what I'm saying. You want to learn, maybe you're coding. You want to learn something. There are times you should be tired. Your back should be aching you. You still stay there and you are walking. You just sleep when you get tired. When you get hungry, you can't eat immediately. That's why I can't fast. How many times have you planned to fast from 6 to 6 and you break it around 2? Because once you feel hungry, you eat. And that's it. You can't reason to the church. Once you feel sleepy, you sleep. You know what is happening to you? You think it's just life. It is uncontrolled appetite. What is going to translate to your life, even your sexual life? You begin to have less control over your sexual appetite too. So any day you want it, since you've trained your body, that anything you I want, it's everything you want, I must give you. Are you following me this morning? No, I'm being very real now. Every time you're hungry, you can never say no. You know, all this is our drive. That is sexual drive. That is hunger drive. That is sleep drive. You must bring your appetite in check. Because sometimes sleep can be worrying. You must learn to stay up. I get the point. You begin to learn that and discipline your body to know that, hey guy, it's not everything you want I'll give you. There are days you want to laugh. I don't want to laugh. There are days you want to watch movies throughout the night. Hey, you're going to read this night. Even though there's a new movie, that new series that is showing, but this night is for reading. Your body should be able to learn that you don't always give it what it wants. In your spiritual work, and even in your academics and your business generally. That's why I said it on Sunday. You should be entering that season when there is always cold in the morning. You see people opening their shops by 9:30, 10 a.m. Because when it is 5-6 that they should wake up and open their shops, that's when something is telling them sleep. Sleep. And they've trained their body that you take anything you want, I'm going to give you now. There are days you are going to wake up and you don't feel like going to church and you stand up and go to church. You're not a slave to your emotions. Are you following me this morning? Not a slave to your wants. That same way you come to church, you feel sleepy, your body should be able to know, God, you don't own me. You won't come and embarrass me here. Have you ever finished sleeping in a program and woke up and you were embarrassed? Maybe you woke up after the meeting. Now somebody slept and woke up when, I think sleeping in the hall, and everybody woke up, everybody has left the hall. When you have bad friends, they will leave you and go home. You know, we had a conference some time ago. You know, that conference, we used to feed people. So that particular night was the last night of the meeting. That particular night, food didn't arrive early. So we just were able to rest. The food will still soon come. Then after eating, we'll now have an all-night meeting. Then everyone was resting. So when it was time, woke everybody up. Wake up. Everybody woke up and ate. And that night, attend our meetings, the last night of meetings, always the most attended, people all over the place. So they ate and ate and ate and finished the whole food. Now, somewhere around 2 a.m., this young boy woke up. And he woke up with so much confidence. He woke up, first of all, took water, washed his face, rinsed his mouth. And now came out and there was no drop. He cried though, it's not like... No drop of food left. We're already worshiping the Lord in the program. Oh God. I wrote a book many years ago called Awakening a Sleeping Generation. So maybe I should give people that book to read. Have some control when you're in Christian meetings. That urge to get on Facebook, that urge to check your mail can be resisted. Tell your body that you don't always get what you want. There was a day, you know, one of these days, recently, not far, I just woke up and the Lord said, I knew it was God, don't pick up your phone. Yeah, just stay. And I was like that till around 3 or 4. And I picked it up, thinking there was a reason. He said, I just wanted to teach you that some days you can stay without touching your phone. You must be able to control your appetite. You know, I told you guys on Thursday, if you meet God, you will know that he doesn't ask your opinion. God is very straightforward. And throughout that, like I just said, say, don't touch your phone for message, for call, for text. Just keep it. So I'm just looking at my phone. And that was the day I knew that. And they have that instruction, you know that your phone really has power over you. Just look at the phone and say, what if there's a message? What if there's an emergency? There is no emergency. There's no emergency. It's just you that want to press that phone. Leave it. That's why that I used to finish fast. Even if you are the letter, you will finish very fast. And MTN is doing still stops. But then you too. Morning till night, you are checking one thing. And sometimes somebody asks, what are you checking? You don't even know. When you are done with Facebook, you go to Instagram. When you are done, you go to X. From there, you go to TikTok. After TikTok, you go to What Snapchat? Then he goes to threads. Just do it. After you finish, you check your mail. That's if you remember to do that one. You now go to WhatsApp. Then go back to Facebook. What are you looking for? Have some control. This is a very big direction of my teaching this morning. I just said what I said. Have some control. Practice what I'm saying. When you go home, let your body know that you will not always give it what it wants. I'm asking about people that have addiction, that are addicted to smoking. Because they've taught their body that whenever you want to smoke, I'm going to give it to you. So even sometimes, even 3 a.m., they still wake you up and say, smoke now. Once you've taught your body, I'm at your service. If you want, I'm going to give you. They wake up by 3 a.m. and start looking for what to smoke. And guess what? When there is nothing to smoke, that's how you know, that's how they turn to junkies. A junkie can break into your house. He doesn't care about the security challenge. He just wants to get anything that he will sell. A junkie can carry your TV that you bought $200,000 and sell it for $10,000 to buy something to smoke. You know why? He has taught his body that anything you want, I'll give it to you. And when you teach your body like that, it always revolts. We are denying, say, I thought you had an agreement to always give me what I want. Why are you treating me this way? It will revolt. So train your body. Paul said, I put my body under subjection. Are you following me this morning? Let your body know that that's the center of a Christian ministry. Sometimes when I come here and I'm teaching you, sometimes not today, but sometimes I teach you for 3 hours, 4 hours, you just tired. It's okay. Tell your body, I know you want to stand up now. I know you are tired, but you don't always stand up when you want to stand up. Why are you like this? You don't always, that's some of us cannot even read. Because once you just go to night class, once you feel sleepy, something tells you if you don't sleep now, you will die. The thing is, you will not die. You won't die. No, but I felt that way. If you don't sleep now, you are going to die. One of her dear ones here now, she's in school. First, she gained admission. She told me, say, Papa, sleep is dealing with me. Help me. And I liked it. It was a good heart. To know that as a police officer, these exams are not doing well. It's me. I sleep. I'm for real. And I had to help. That's why accountability is good. I knew how to help. I will make you read. You will stay up. I don't have time. When I used to have time, I can make you read all night, maybe 6 hours, and I'll be calling you every 30 minutes to check up on you. And I have time. No, it's not like now. I'll just call, help. I hope you're reading. Yes, sir. 30 minutes, you'll be awake. Even if, sir, what if I'm not reading, I'm just deceiving you, but you're awake at least. Your body's learning that you don't take everything you want. Did you learn something this morning? Yeah. Train your body. You don't take everything you want. There are times you want to stop praying, but I still want to pray. So you are going to pray because I want you to pray, not because, you get what I'm saying? Don't always, you're not a slave to your emotions. You get what I'm saying? Some of you that are writing professional exams, learn what I'm saying. That's what my daughter said that I've made to read some 10 hours in a day, 12 hours in a day. Why? Tell your body that as you want to sleep, your body should know that you have to be awake. Coffee is good, but that's not the strongest thing you use. It's not even good. I've never used anything to stay awake. From the entire head of the book. They asked him, how do you stay awake? He said, we use alarm to wake us up. He said, I don't use alarm. Purpose wakes me up. What was your purpose? I said, yes, purpose to keep me awake too. I get him. If you know, you don't. So I had a friend in school then that used coffee. Like he was, so he wanted to pass. Use coffee like coffee seeds, not like drinking the seed. I know the problem. I said, you that did not do well in first year, second year, third year, this final you want to get first class, you still not get to one. And he ate all those things, everything. And you know that thing is powerful. Things suspended sleep from his eyes. So when he slept, he died. No, not like died, like mama died. But he was equivalent to death. 1 day, 2 days, we're now pouring water, milk, everything. And I said, if you pass out now, when you meet, imagine you appear before God and God said, oh, my son, welcome, what are you doing here? He said, I died. And God asked, how did you die? He said, I took coffee. Why? how to pass. He said, Lord will say, look at that screen. You got 2-2 last. And I told him that. I said, the point is, you take 6 years to train your body to become stupid. Then suddenly you want it to do what you didn't train it to do. Simply your body. All this I'm talking about having a prayer life. You know why you have a prayer life? You've not learned how to wake up by 4 or by 4:30. He says, I can't wake up by 4. Ah, where's sleep? Discipline yourself. You can wake up anytime you want to wake up. You can wake up by 2. I say you can tell your body that even if you sleep by 1:30, by 2 a.m., your eye will open. It's not this body. I follow what I'm talking about. Your eye will open. So as we come for meetings, when we talk about participation, there are times we are dancing, you don't feel like dancing. Well, that's your body. When we are running around, you don't feel like that's what you don't want to do, but you do it all the same. You feel like sleeping now, stay awake. How? Stand up.
Same how?
Stand up. Stand up. Be serious. Are you following me? And then, of course, when you're meeting, respond well to the meeting. That's what I'm going to say. I said, number one, be feeling, but number two, respond well to the word, rather. Respond well to the word. Respond to the word. How do you respond to the word? Acts 17, verse 11, put up Amplified. Acts 17 and verse 11. Hallelujah. Now, these Jews, we are better disposed, talking about the Berean Christians. We are better disposed than those in Thessalonica. For they were entirely ready and accepted and welcomed the message concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God with inclination of mind and eagerness. There's an eagerness used to receive God's word. It's called readiness of mind. So how do you receive the word? You receive it with readiness of mind, an eager and ready attitude. So number one, you respond to the word in Christian meetings with readiness of mind. Number two, you respond in meekness. Meekness. James 1 and verse 21. Meekness, that's humility. James 1 and verse 21. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with what? Meekness, the engrafted word. What does it mean? Receive with meekness, receive with the humility. When God's word is coming to you, don't become proud. Why will you be telling me what to do? No, be good, what I go do. That's not the attitude. With all humility. With all meekness. Because I tell you what, the word of God will not always come sweet. So we will have a lot of corrections. How do you receive correction? With meekness. Humility. One of my sons here, great minister of God, he's not here now, but he comes around for all our meetings. Just one of them. And he came. And you know, before that meeting, there was a business he was doing. Let me even tell you. Because he got this contract where they were giving him, there was this new alcoholic drink that came into town. And he had the contacts, they would give him the carton almost for free. And he would sell and just remit a small percentage. So he told me, sir, before this meeting, I was counting in hundreds of thousands through that business. And he said, but every time I'm done with that, I feel very bad. He said, sir, it's not like alcohol. I know nothing about alcohol. But somehow I feel God didn't want me to be doing that business. And while I was in the meeting, he came for that meeting. I spoke about it. I said, you are here. The Lord has been telling you to stop selling that alcohol. Direct like that. So after the meeting, he came to the office and said, sir, you are talking to me. And I stopped today. That's with meekness. He's not just saying to the Lord, how do I now cope? You know, I told you guys, God doesn't ask people's opinion. You know, right? And God does not even promise us. You know, God doesn't make many promises like you know. You find out what God will do for you as you start following him. He doesn't call you and say, leave your job, I'm going to make you rich. No. He will just say, follow me, I'll make you rich out of men. He doesn't promise you nothing. It's not with the cause of following him that Peter said, sir, excuse, we've left all to follow you. What is in it for us? For the first time, he now promised them, you have houses and lands. But at that time, he called them. That's why when you go to preach the gospel to people, you don't tell them that God will make them rich. Even though it is true. Well, that's not what they need to hear. Because if they come to Christ on account of that stuff, then they are not saved. Are you what I'm talking about? You are preaching to a prostitute who has been making money through her runs and all that. And she asks you things like, so how will I now cope when I stop these runs? Don't make her promises like God will take me. Change. Follow God. You get the point? It's part of the sacrifice you have to make. Because otherwise you just try to make people feel good. Jesus never made those promises at salvation. Every promise he made people at salvation. Go and check the four gospels. We are spiritual. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Are you following me? What did he tell the woman at the well? I'll give you living water and you will thirst no more. Nothing like I'm going to give you money. What led us to that? Meekness, yes, yes, yes. So even when he gets to my office, I didn't tell him, oh, don't worry, I should stop that business. Things are going to open up. I say, well, stop it already. Amen. And last time he came, he was like, I've stopped that business. But guess the testimony, things opened up. Because sometimes God just wants to know if you will obey him. I don't get what I'm talking about. So when the word is coming, receive it with meekness. And I always give this example because ladies feel embarrassed. The ladies don't like it. So I use the worst case scenarios. Some ladies may not, you know, maybe imagine you come to church and you are wearing a very indecent clothes. And that's the pastor makes up his mind to talk about indecent dresses. That's not the time to get angry. And say, oh, so he was even looking at me and saying it. You should have to come back to point me now. No. Receive the word with meekness. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? With meekness. Don't say, why didn't you come out? Somebody will say, sir, why didn't you call me personally to tell me this? Why are you saying it openly? Well, I wanted to say it under the anointing. That's why I didn't tell you. All those kind of meekness. Meekness. There are meetings that I've gone to, and when I come back, it altered my life, and it was okay. So number two, I say you receive the word with meekness. Number three, you receive God's word as God's word. Let me put it that way again. You receive the words coming as God's word. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, I prepare you for this every year. Have you observed? I teach you this and I'm teaching now every year. Sometimes three times in a year before any major meeting, I teach on this. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. He said, for this cause, also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word which you heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Don't receive anything I'm saying as pastor said. It is God said. This is enough. You saw the reverse? Say, you guys didn't receive it as the word of men, but as the word of God. So when I correct you, God is correcting you. When I instruct you, God is instructing you. When I bless you, God is blessing you. I get him. So you receive it as it is the word of God. So that's how you carry towards the word. So number one, I say receive the word with what? With what? Readiness of mind. Number two, meekness. Number three, as God's word. Number four, with joy and gladness. Receive the word with joy and gladness. First Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. You must learn how to rejoice when the word of God comes to you. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, and he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with what? Joy of the Holy Ghost. So when I teach you, that's why you notice we shout a lot here, because you must receive the word with joy of the Holy Ghost. And joy is not in your heart. Joy is seen. Joy is visible. Joy can be seen. If you are joyous, you will see it. You don't throw your voice, I'm joyful. See, I feel joyful. You don't feel joyful. You show joy. And it's all who teach the word, we receive it with joy. David said, I rejoice at your word as one that has found great spoil. Shout amen, somebody. So that's why you wonder why do they always run around in this church and shout. That's the reason. Because you receive the word with joy. Oh, with joy. I say with joy. How can you hear joy as you seated? I say with joy. You know, the Bible said, with joy shall you draw water from the well of salvation. You know what that means? Every time you are receiving the truth about your salvation, you draw it with joy. When I say you are righteous, how do you draw it? When I say you are sanctified, how do you draw it? When I say your sins are forgiven, how do you draw it? When I say you are righteous, how do you draw it? When I say you are seated with Christ, how do you draw it? We draw all. Hallelujah. And that's actually not just to make you happy. That's not to respond to God's word. That's why I don't believe that the church should be a very quiet place. No. God does not always move in quietness. God moves in noise too. It was the move of, you know, God's response. You know, one of the greatest responses of the Spirit is to sound. Have I told you this? The anointing response to sounds.
See, I don't want to go too far with that.
Sounds. How did the wall of Jericho fall? Sound. How did Jesus change people? Sound. What did you just say to him? Say something. It's supposed to sound. Now that's what the young lion did not know when he met Samson. Nearly he roared at Samson. Wow, that anointing responded back.
Are you following me, somebody?
Yeah, response to sound. That's why I can be sleeping.
But I'm pretty sure, I'm not joking, I hope you know right. So sounds.
How did Elisha prophesy in 1 Kings chapter 3? He said, bring me a minstrel. And minstrel played. He responded to sounds. I'm not supposed to sounds. So that's why sometimes I ask, what are you saying? What sound are you making?
You get the point?
I can be so distracted and there's a sound somebody will make. We are picking by the Spirit. There are cries that go up to God. He must respond. There are words that come forth. God must respond. The anointing responds a lot to sound. I can do a full teaching of this, I'm telling you. In the Elisha said, well, you notice that the Elisha did not want to prophesy. Even though them, even for the Jehoshaphat that you came with, the one that has spoken to you today, but it's okay, fine. Bring anybody that can play instruments. They took David to the house of Saul. Saul was possessed by an evil spirit. Once that thing comes upon him, David begins to play. Once he begins to play, that anointing comes and the evil spirit appears. He responds to sounds. So that's why in meetings like this, I don't believe people should just keep quiet. You must be saying what must be said. Let me give you an example. And I know there's an extreme to what I'm saying now. Big extreme. Don't go to the extreme. But I'll give you an example. Why do you think you go to some of these churches? When their prophet is prophesying, they're hyping the person. That hype, that's what I'm saying, is what's making him say more. There's an extreme to it too. Because the church is not a showroom. It's a grand commander of the prophetic. I don't believe in all those stuffs. I can't imagine Jesus. You know, sometimes when they are doing that, imagine Jesus standing before 5,000 men doing, should I pray? I can't say, I'm being very frank. I don't believe in some crazy extremisms. I believe we can have move of the Spirit in all the senses. Can I read 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40? All things we done decently and in order. I believe in these senses. Some things that you do, so even the unsafe come, they're laughing at you. But it doesn't make any sense. Are you still here? You don't do such things. However, there is a reason they're doing that thing they're doing. Whatever spirit is talking to them, of God or of the devil, response to those sounds those people are making. Once they are saying all those, prophesy! That thing is responding. That's why you notice when I start teaching, I start speaking by the Spirit, and their response is like, amen. Yes, sir. Yeah, it will keep flowing. Those sounds you are making is standing as anointing. That's why there are places you go to minister as a man of God there. The anointing will refuse to manifest. Because those people, they don't know. People are so dumb. I was watching a meeting, the man of God was prophesying. He prophesied to a point, they started clapping. I said, of you are not serious. They just clapped. Yeah. That's not, they say it's their white people. It's not white people. Where did we learn rejoicing from? From Remau. Kenneth Hagin. Go and watch their meeting. They didn't have a decent meeting. It was decent but not decent. One person could just run off like that. Those sounds will provoke that anointing. So that's why you don't come to Christian meetings and you're quiet. So when we shout like that, more words begin to flow. Some of you that even go for evangelism. There's a way you'll be preaching. There's a way the person will be responding. You have more things to say. I'm telling you, once person just responding in a certain way, say, wow. Once you just hear wow. You say yes, I'm telling you. But these things are not just, because you just said, wow. What happened? That his response has just provoked something. In fact, even if you didn't know, you know. You start saying them. He said, yes, I'm telling you. Say, Jesus, are you serious? I've never seen it before. Say, you never, I'll show you more. Scripture starts flowing. And that's how the anointing works. So that's why, you know, there's need to respond to God's word with joy. Once there is that response, you are allowing that anointing to flow.
The more.
Are you learning something this morning? So how do we respond to the word in the way? With joy. We shout. Hallelujah. That's why when I pray for you, when I think about you, your amen is not good. You are limiting the flow.
Shout amen, somebody.
And so you must respond with joy and gladness. Then number 4 or 5 now, you must respond with, you must respond prayerfully. I always teach you, never hear God's word without being in a prayer. Let me use the word prayer mood. You can use that. I was not saying when you are hearing God's word, you are praying under your breath. Yeah, listening with your, how I like saying it, with your physical and with your spiritual ear. You are trying to hear what I'm not saying. You are trying to hear more than I'm saying. You are trying to pick out the particular message God has for you in this thing I'm telling everybody. So sometimes you see, you watch me listen to God's word and I'm praying under my breath. Just preaching and I'm not this, I'm not stressing anybody, but I'm praying. And as I'm doing that, God is talking to me. So you respond to the word well. Hallelujah. Now, I said number one way you respond in Christian meetings is with full involvement. Number two, I said respond well to the word. Everything I've said now is under responding to the word. You get it now? Now, number three, how to respond in Christian meetings, you must receive the man well. Receive the man of God well. The reason is very simple. God works with men. Let me tell you something. How you receive a man speaking to you is how you're going to receive God. Is how the meeting is going to bless you. The popular story I always teach us from is Matthew 13, verse 54. You know why I always teach that scripture? Because that is about Jesus himself. Like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he got to his hometown. He spoke so much that they were like, who is even this man talking? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is his brother not? You know this guy now? And verse 58 said, he did not do many mighty works there. You know, because of their unbelief. Because they were saying, like, look at this Jesus. That is a translation that said that he just laid hands upon a few persons. So, Jesus, the generous Jesus, the benevolent God, couldn't do much benevolence in a place because they saw him like, who is this one? Your response to a man, that's why if you come to Zoe and you are not convinced that I'm a man of God sent from God, you might not really be blessed. Say amen. I'm sent from God. And I'm not saying it to make you happy. It's something I know. I saw a scripture one day talking about me. There was a man sent from God. His name is Henry. I heard it. I saw it clearly. I know it. But the point is whether you know I'm sent from God for you. I get the point. That's why I teach on commitment and knowing that you are here. Because if I am, you know, my friend Pastor Casey was telling me something happened. He said there was this guy that comes to his ministry. The guy will come to his ministry on Sunday. On Tuesday, he goes to elsewhere. On Wednesday, he goes elsewhere. See, the guy just following many people. So one day, Pastor Casey called him. You know, my friend is not as sentimental as me. He said, how are you? He said, fine. He said, I noticed that you go to some ministry. He said, yes. He said, I just want to know that God wants you to be there. He said, yes. Kneel down, let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus, I release you. Gang, you know the reason is, if you are seen as an assistant man of God, you will not be blessed by my ministry. I get what I'm saying. you know, some of us, the pastoral grace has dealt with us. So, he just said, come. You go to somebody, say, yes. Say, God wants you to be there. He says, sir. He says, yes. Kneel down. In the name of Jesus, I release you from here. Be blessed. The way I laughed. He said, the guy has never come back again since then. He never wanted to come. If a father says get out, a father never means get out. If you get out, you wanted to get out. It means you are never there. Just like you get me angry and say, you're not my daughter again, not my son again, go. And you really go. You wanted to go. Because even when the father is saying go, there's someone in the heart is saying, don't get anywhere, we better come. Tell him. Share the prodigal son's father settled him. The prodigal father said the prodigal son, okay, no. He said, he said to the prodigal son, but do you realize when the prodigal son came back, where was the man? He was sitting outside in front, waiting for the boy to come back. So who knows how many days he has been sitting in front there every day, hoping that one day this boy will be back. See, father never sends people away. So for the fact that that guy, like, might say, oh, Pastor Casey is 2 minutes. It's not mean, he's a spiritual man. For the fact that he left, showed he never had a place in the first place. And pastors must learn to know who belongs to you before you deceive yourself, thinking everybody's following you. If you're going to be blessed by this ministry, you must know that Henry here catches the man sent from God. You know, I read about William Branham those days. Before he prays for you, no matter. You know William Branham, one of the most dangerous prophets and healer that ever lived this earth. And I'm not exaggerating by any means. The man was hot. I mean, he sees things. He doesn't do all this. There is somebody here. He will ask all of you to line up. He gives you word of knowledge one by one. He calls your name. As you come, he says, hey, I didn't say, oh, okay. Line by line. But you know, before he starts, once he just comes, the first question you ask before he starts prophesying is, do you believe that William Branham is a man sent from God? If he say, he says, get out. You have to believe. He say, he's just being proud. So this is so that I will not waste my time with you. But some days it's a waste of time. That's why you notice some of you, you just coming from nowhere. Daddy, please pray. My brother that is in Cotonou is sick. I want to call him on phone. Does your brother know me? Does your brother know me? Who am I praying? I follow him saying, if you want that prayer to work, school that guy on my ministry. Give him message. Let him come to believe that God sends this man. If not, he'll just say, amen, oh, amen. And everything will continue. But there are some of you, if I speak over you, it will never fail. Even God will not let it fail. No, God will not let it fail. If it fails, I can, and I'm on serious note, I've had to ask God one day, why didn't that work? Say, such audacity, he has to tell me. You can't give people to take care of, and do not give anything for them. So why did it not work? And I say, it worked. You think it worked, it's just that. I say, I want to know that. Because you need to realize, you must realize Jesus got to that place because they saw him like carpenter's son. The amazing thing is that carpenter's son does not heal the sick. It is the Son of God that heals the sick. So once they were seeing him as carpenter's son, he had nothing to offer them. Are you still here? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. Hallelujah. We're learning something. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Next verse. I know this verse says, know them. And when I read it, something came to my spirit now. I want to encourage some of you. Know them. Recognize them. Listen, every man was not sent to you. So know who was sent to you. So when you have problem, you know where to carry your problems to. So that's not even know who was sent to us. So we carry our problem to everywhere. I know who to call when it's red in my life. I don't need to second guess. I know who to call. So what if he's not anointed for that? No, my pastor is anointed for everything. If he's not anointed for it, doctors refer people. Do you understand? He lets him be the one to refer you. I know. He said, know them. Recognize them. So I want to ask you, who was sent over your life? You must be able to know. Are you following me? All this craze of running from place to place in name of, oh, sir, pray for me. Sir. So when the thing works, who really prayed? I get the point. Who really prayed? Who did God really use? He said, does it matter? Well, that's that it worked. Well, you know why it's good for you to know who God used and know how it worked? So that when it starts again, you will know where exactly to go to. Because if you know how the first one happened, you will know how the second one can happen. Are you learning something this morning? So don't just live that kind of jealous life. If I know where I got it from, when it didn't finish again, I know where to return to go and get it again. So he said, know them. Verse 13 now said, and esteem them very highly. So here we are very big on honor. So if you're coming for someone, you must esteem me. Not just me, but anybody I allow to climb this stage. It must esteem them highly. If I allow a singer to climb here and sing, esteem the person very highly. At that moment, the person is ministry. Are you following me, somebody? So when the person says, I feel you should just jump, just jump. You better start jumping like frog.
So it's seen very highly. So you must receive the man well. We will receive him in honor. I learned something. Receive him. You know, one of the major. Let me show you scripture. I want us to read together. Matthew 25, verse 33. I have a few more minutes. Not like few, but just some minutes. Matthew 25, verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Continue very quickly. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35. For I was an hungered. I love King James. And ye gave me meat. And I was thirsty. And ye gave me drink. And I was a stranger. And ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee? So they are saying, we can't even remember doing this. We've never even seen you face to face. So when did you do all these things? See the answer. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Verse 39. Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say to them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. So whatever you do to me is what you're doing to Jesus. Are you following me? You know, there's something, I don't respond to trends. Okay, but something trended recently. And the man they were talking about, this people are not afraid. Let me tell you, there's no man of God in this country bigger than Pastor Iya Adeboye. Say amen. No man of God. I'm not a member of his church. There are people that God used to give things. Do you understand? Just like Moses. I can for sure know Jesus in the Bible with Moses. So leave this matter. If they used to compare both of them, the law came by Moses, grace and truth by Jesus. What are you fighting? And Pradeboya said he traveled abroad and he asked the Lord to suspend winter when he was in that state. And the Lord did it when he was there. And people started fighting. They said, it did not happen. But then you, church people, oh, you are fighting, it did not happen. Yet, church people believe that God suspended sun and moon in the days of Joshua. You see, and I'm saying it because this verse said, whatever you are doing to one of these my brethren, who was he referring to? The disciples standing with him, those apostles, he says. So whatever you do to them is what you are doing to me. So one day, Jesus is going to look at some people and say, you were fighting me. They'll say, no, I didn't fight you. Amen. But here's the night, the Lord said something to me. When I was thinking about this matter, the Lord said clearly, he said, tell the people it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Do you know where that came from in the Bible? Acts chapter 9. Paul was on his way to Damascus. Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting the church? Amen? And Saul said, I told him it is hard. So that's why the life of the man who stands against the church will be hard. Not because God will make it hard. You are kicking against the bricks. Do you understand? You are kicking against the bricks. Look at that verse. It is hard for you to kick against the bricks. So it's not God that will make life hard for you. You are the one that is deliberately kicking against the bricks. You are hitting stone. Acts 9. Come on. Because you're quite very, very active this morning. Are you following me? So he said, if you do it to any of these my disciples, he said, you have done it unto me. People have not yet seen it. Oh, well, let me find it in my notes. Verse 5. Is he hard? Acts 9, verse 5. Amen. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Do you realize? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Do you realize? Paul never met Jesus physically. Not once. Even when he was alive. Yeah, Jesus said, they're persecuting me. Amen. Now, you don't know that when you say Pastor Debo is a madman, you are insulting Jesus. You don't know. I'm telling you. A comedian even did a skit about it.
all these bloggers. I was forming, since I said that, so I guess I said, my hand has bent. People are not laughing. I said, your life has bent. Some of you guys are not afraid. And then you say all those nonsense you want to say. Now, Pastor Debo is not my spiritual father. I hope you know. So I'm not saying this because of anything. After all those things you want to say, you now come to the wire shouting, Amen. Nothing. I said nothing. Because if Jesus said, anything you do to one of the least of these people, you do to me. Why even, why are you guys angry? The man says, whether you winter. Number one, you are not in that country. You don't know whether you will never visit that country. So what is your problem? And if he's lying, the man at the age and with the capacity and the result of Pastor Deboye has nothing to prove to anybody, so he shouldn't lie. It's not like some of us trying to prove that God called us. The man has nothing to prove. Go on Wikipedia and go and type Lekki 98. You will know. That man has addressed the highest crowd any human being has addressed in the history of the world. Go and check it. Nothing to prove. Say amen. So it's not like trying to claim. What does he have to claim? All this, one of these things you guys are doing, it's not you. I don't even know I'm angry. It's not you. But you see, it is how you receive the man. So you're going for so way, you must notice that God called Pastor Henry and celebrate that call of God upon his life. Because whatever you do to one of these people is what they're doing to me. So if Jesus comes to your room, what will you do? Do it when Pastor Henry comes for so way. How will you shout? Shout that same way. How will you receive? Receive that same way. That is how it works. I'm not saying it's for you to like me. Do you understand? I'm helping you receive. Let me show you scripture. 1 Samuel 1 verse 18, verse 17. This one I always like reading it because you notice it was about a prophet who, as it were, God had left him at the point. His name was Eli. The guy walked against God. God already left him. But then Hannah needed a baby and was praying and fasting in the temple. Are you getting the point? And then Eli came there and just looked at her and said, you are just strong. That's a point for Hannah to look up and say, you call yourself a man of God. And you can't even discern when a person is praying. Are you getting what I'm talking about? But you notice, he said, your handmaiden is not drunk. And just complained. Look at what Eli said. Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel granted thy petition. And that was asked him. That was enough. Verse 18. What did Hannah do? And verse 18, come on, you jumped. And then he said, go in peace. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace thyself. So the woman went away. And did it. So she entered and started eating. Was no more sad. Why? Because a man of God, who in quote, God has left. I get what I'm talking about. And Samuel came. Why? She believed the words of the man. I get what I'm talking about. She believed the words of the man. Do you think God spoke to Samuel? Maybe not. So to Eli rather. No, he didn't speak to Eli. Because the Bible tells us that at that point, the word of God was scarce. But the man just spoke as a priest and said, let the Lord grant you what you want. And that was enough. So Eli prophesied the coming of his replacement. Because it was now somewhere that came to replace it. But you realize it's faith in the word spoken. So in this meeting, you must believe that God has sent me. And that's why, you know, another way you respond, for instance, is that you respond financially. You still under receiving the man well. You receive the man with financial honor. I'll show you three scriptures. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 11. Put up NLT. We're going to read this one together like a mass choir. And we're going to practice it as Zoe. Say amen. 2 Corinthians 9. Are you there? Now, that's first. So the first Corinthians 9 verse 11. Let's read together. Are you ready? Let's start off with the relationship with the Lord. Everybody, are you ready? We're going to read from there to 14. Let's go together. Since you have planted spiritual seed among you, aren't you entitled? Please get, look at that word, entitled. So Paul is saying, anybody that plants spiritual seed among you has an entitlement. He's entitled to receive a harvest of physical food and things. Talking about, he must give him stuffs. That's why when you go for meetings, you come to honor your pastor materially. Why? Because you are receiving spiritual seed. But Paul said the pastor has an entitlement. Now, of course, what he was teaching in this chapter is that pastors should not use that entitlement. But members should know that pastors actually have that entitlement. Remember that teaching I did some years ago? The minister's rights and his wisdom. Remember? A minister has a right to have it, to any physical stuff. Just that the minister should not come out and say, see, all of you give me your money. You know. Or even if he does it, Bible says he's entitled to it. But maturity shows he shouldn't do it. I follow somebody. I see the next verse. Let's go. Do you see the problem? These guys, we are, you know, some people are like this. They were honoring other people preaching. But there are people that are like this. They can honor anybody but their pastor. When they go to an outside meeting, they say, see man of God. And they give him 100,000. 1,000,000. But in their own pastor, let's go in yellow pastor. Give him 1,500. Paul is saying, if you're supporting others who are preaching, shouldn't you have an even greater support? Why was he saying that? Remember previously he told them in chapter 4, you have 10,000 instructors, we have only one father. So he was their spiritual father. He said, we have a greater right to be supported. Look at what he said, but we have never used this right. We would rather put up with anything that will be an obstacle to the good news of our Christ. Verse 13. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple? And those who get served at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings. Verse 14 is where I'm stopping. In the same way, the Lord has ordered that those who preach the good news should be. See, if you are coming for Zoe, if you are going to be blessed by Pastor Henry, you must bring a gift of honor. And not just Zoe, every meeting. Practice what I'm saying. If you're going to any Christian meeting, if he's going to bless me, I'm going to honor the man. Now, I said it on Thursday, if you don't have money, don't say, I would have gone for the program, but I don't have anything to honor. Rather come and trust God for what to use and honor. But most importantly, plan it. Now, while we are still standing, I want us to read the scripture together. While we are still standing, let me show you some scriptures. Acts 28, because Acts 28 will wrap up everything I've said on honor from verse 1. Put up like maybe NLT, because it's a long read. I wanted to really enjoy it. Once we are safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta, because these guys have been on the high sea for a very long time. Now, you are going to see how honor conducts the flow of the anointing. You are going to also see how to practice honor. Now, the people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. So, Paul, they didn't even know who Paul was. They just saw these guys. But they were just kind. So, notice, kindness is not honor. Because they didn't know them. You can't honor a man you don't know. Proper honor means you really understand what God has put upon a person. Now, as Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging on his hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. So they began to esteem Paul like a murderer. Though he escaped the sea, justice would not permit him to leave. Amen. If they had kept seeing Paul as a murderer, murderer does not heal the sick. But now see what changed. Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided that he was a god. You see how they changed their perception about him. You see, if they had kept saying, that's a murderer, nothing would have changed in this island. That's why if you keep saying, pastors are scammers, scammers don't heal the sick. So you will not be healed. I follow you. Now, immediately they said he was a god. Now, see what happened. Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. And it happened, Publius' father was ill with fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed and laid his hand on him, healed him. Honor had come in, healing started immediately. Then all the other sick people on the island came and we are healed. So it became a healing campaign. Now see what these people did. As a result, we were showered with honors. When the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. So they began to gather their stuffs. That's people that know how to respond to the anointing. I know what I'm talking about. They began to gather everything. Go back to the verse, verse 10. Put up a translation of it. With honors. Amen. Amplified said, they showed us respect and presented many gifts to us, honoring us with many honors. And when we sailed, they provided and put on board our ship everything we needed. Do you know why this is very powerful? Because you notice when they were on the high sea, they threw away all their goods when the ship was trying to sink to lighten the weight on the ship. Do you remember this story? So these guys supplied everything they lost on that sea. We spent a wonderful 3 months on Malta. They treated us royally. Say royally. So they treated these guys like royalty. Learn to treat your pastor like royalty. Some people are angry. They are, why are they the pastor? The pastors want to be God. And they want to be worshipped. Don't you realize that there was a common donkey in Israel? Donkey was just there. That's never done anything in his life. But one day that donkey was privileged to carry Jesus. And they were keeping palm fronds and clothes on the earth for that donkey to march on. Just because he was carrying Jesus. It wasn't Jesus that marched on the clothes. It was the donkey carrying him. So the honor that was due Jesus fell on that donkey. Are you getting what I'm talking about? They treated us royally. Took care of all our needs. And outfitted us for the rest of the journey. Oh God. Hallelujah. You know, talking about it, I know what this, he might be listening to this meeting. The last meeting I was with, you know, one of my sons, Pastor Tony. I'll talk about him, you know, these guys was, you know, a small community who went there, but the meeting really opened up the church. They were way above 1,000 that came around because Pastor Ali was coming. You know, that's why sometimes some of you need to travel to meetings with your pastor. If you see how your pastor is treated, you will know you're not trying. Something I've observed. These guys loaded us with many honors. About our Jesus. Everything you can do. Like I was trying to get into the car. This you are still being pushed into the boot. I said, think of, mention anything. Anything you can think of. He was there. Anything you can think of. And that meeting opened up that church. Even the last time he was here, he told me, he said, from that day, he said, that number we saw that there has never been to our church since we started. He said, and the number did not drop from then. Are you following me? It's about reception. Say with me, say in this meeting. Say in Zoe. I will honor my pastor. I will honor my pastor. You know, this thing I'm teaching you is true. Even, remember, I did this teaching when we hosted Apostle Phillips 2 years ago. Even if the guest list are coming here, this thing I'm teaching you now stands. Once it's going to bless you, we must treat them royally. That's why we host guest ministers here. The hotel where we hosted Apostle and the people they came with was the highest we could see at the point. Lots of money put into it. Why? I treat one of God with royalty. Are you following me? When my pastor is going to be to come to this church, at any time he comes, we're going to shut down everywhere, every part of this town. We might bring in 100 convoys. Is he overdoing? Is he governor? Yes. Much more than a governor. Because a governor's tenure is 8 years. At most. Shout amen. No, Peter's indeed a son. Said, you are not elected. There is no impeachment. Our own calling, they know the impeachment guy. Do you understand? Even if everybody in church leaves, they call him day. That call will begin to gather other people. So calm down. I get the point. So you must celebrate the anointing. And I'm not saying this so that when I come for the meeting, I believe my church, I don't think I'm well honored in this place. But we can always be better. I told you guys, make sure your pastor is not more honored any other place than he's honored in his church. It's only a foolish son that celebrates his uncle more than his father. So some people when there's a guest minister and I say, hey, power. Oh, wait, there's pastor, not pastor that I'm going to see on Thursday. I'll see him on Saturday. Tuesday, self, I will go to his office. Wednesday, I'll be there. It's okay. Say, let's honor pastor. You know what I found out in this Zoe honor every year? If you look at how the giving goes, then say, let's honor pastor financially. You look at how the giving goes, people that are from Enugu Center, we honor you with 1,000, 2,000, 500, 3,000, 4,000. People that come from other centers, we honor you with 50,000, 20,000. You know why? They don't need to see pastor all the time. But you say, yeah, you know, pastor. Honor, honor, honor. God is Malachi chapter 1. God got angry. God told them, how are you giving me blind animals? He now asked them a question that I thought about. That I read it. I sat down and he said, carry that gift you gave me. Go and give it to your governor. See if he will receive it. So see that money you used to honor pastor. Take it. Go and give it to your local government chairman. See if they will not stone you. Let me tell you, you know this already, I'm a very bold pastor. You've seen it already. I'm not someone that, I don't shy away from talking about anything. I know there's a lot of dragging about money, but they like money. There is no pastor that needs your money. Except it's not called of God. No pastor, you know what I said? No pastor needs your money. God takes care of pastors. And that is forever true. I told you guys about Pastor Deboye again, Abi. How a group of billionaires in his church came to him and met him and said, from today, we want a detailed account on how you are spending tithes and offering in this church. Every month, we want the account. And he said, okay. But he told them a few things that shocked me. He said, every month, we come to Holy Ghost Congress, I'll prepare the account. But make sure I'm not in the room when you are going through that account. Because I don't want the Lord to ever say I was around where you guys practice this wickedness. But they didn't get what he said. They said, give us. And then he told the finance team and said, from now to the next 1 year, whatever tithes or offering this family sends, put it in a separate account. Don't put it in a church account. He said, we are not going to mix up their money with church money. I will not spend their money for 1 year. Let us see if it is their giving sustaining the church or if the Lord is the Lord of his church. Are you guys following me this morning? Sit. They say, praise, let's be sure. Shout amen, somebody. And so, walking on. So, I'm not going to all these pastors like money. I've told pastors, don't let people blackmail you into saying, don't blackmail me. I'm proud to be a pastor. God honored me and called me. I was to rent a house some years ago. And somebody, I told you guys, sorry, Abby. The kind barrister said, who is the person that wants to rent the house? The agent was like, oh, he's here. He said, what does he do? He was on the phone. What does he do? He said, he's a pastor. So what do you mean he's a pastor? What does he do? Find out what he does and let him call me. So I told him, put him on call. Let me speak to him. So I picked the phone. I said, sir, it's me that wants to rent the house. At that point, I was sure I was going to rent the house. So he said, yes. I said, what do you do? I said, I am a pastor. He said, it's pastor in work. I said, what exactly do you do? And I asked him, what do you do? He said, I'm a barrister. I said, it's barrister work. What exactly do you do? Not direct. He said, but there are pastors that don't know. I said, there are barristers that are even into tech. I know a barrister that teaches government in a secondary school. So what exactly do you do? He said, that's not going to, I said, that's custom to this. And I said, I told him, I'm not going to rent your house again. He said, why? I said, you dishonored what I hold precious, my calling. He said, come, let's talk about this. I will never come. You will never see me. Rent your house out. Don't know how to fool everywhere. Take your own. I'm not, if you despise my calling, I have no business with it. And I'm not saying because my pastor, even you, let nobody come to you and begin to laugh at you. See that one? Now, all shall they do for church? And then they sweep church. What an honor. Let nobody talk and say, only usher. That's what I do. What do you do? So when somebody tells you that you're using in church, ask them, who is using you? The mumu saying that you're using you in church, your pastor is using you. The girlfriend is using him. That's not telling people. One just got girlfriend. Girlfriend Nelube Tumus. He was electrician. He was carpenter. Yes, you will not allow church using. I'm very serious. He even went, he was even going to market. Say, baby, don't worry, let me go and buy it for you. Baby, don't worry, let me fix it for you. I say, don't worry, I don't want to be drawing well. Let me draw well for you. I say, all of you are not serious. He was being used of. The girl was using him mightily. And then that same person is insulting that God is using you. Let church use me. So what did you do throughout today? We are cleaning toilets in church. He said, ew. He said, ew. So we clean toilet in church. Say, you really need to say, yes, we do that.
Are you getting me, somebody?
Everybody is being used of something. Say, girls in church all night rehearsing. Oh, I can never do that.
We don't even allow you to do it. We'll never take it.
You're not happy. Be proud of your calling. God called me. And you notice your family, once anybody your family begins to recognize this call of God upon your life, no matter how small it is, you are not sure you begin to work for them. You watch what I'm saying. You begin to tell them things like, everything will be fine, and you totally become fine. And that's why if your brother is a pastor, forget pastor self. Some of you that are not pastors, but you know God is using you in your own capacity. Let your family know that God's hand is upon your life. If they recognize that thing, if you speak, it's going to work. But once they keep seeing you as last born, last B, minister's class on Thursday in the morning, be here. That's why some of you that are even last born should break off that last born nonsense from your body. Because you still do yourself like last born, that's still sending you money. I say, mommy, I need to pay my money. I want them to see you as an anointed man. There's a courage for the anointed now. Say, this money is not enough. If anointing is good for the past. He say, oh, my baby, at 23. Meet me on Thursday morning. I will bless the call of God upon your life. And so you receive the man honorably. Shout amen. Now finally, okay, I've said a few things about receiving the man. Let me just rush to the next thing and the last thing. Come with faith. Say amen. Come with what? Faith. Faith helps you to receive and to sustain any move of God. I have 10 minutes. Faith helps you to receive and to sustain any move of God. Matthew 9 verse 22. We should be very fast with that. Matthew 9 verse 22. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. So walk into this meeting with faith. Are you following me? Matthew 15 and verse 28. Jesus said, thy faith had made thee whole. Matthew 15, 28. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Faith. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Luke 18, verse 42. You see the same flow. Faith. So you come into Zoe with faith. Luke 18, verse 42. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. So come with faith in this meeting. He says, how do we do that? I'm going to show you. You know something, faith will not make God give you anything. Yeah. God is a giver. And his giving is not dependent on your faith. What your faith will do for you is that your faith will cause you to receive what God already gave you. Let me show you a scripture. James 1 verse 5. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and obedeth not. Watch this verse and it shall be given him. So he said, once you ask, notice there is no condition attached. To God's giving, there is no condition. Faith is not even a condition. I learned something today. So, for instance, Zoe is coming. God already has given all his supply for Zoe. Now, but see how what your faith comes in. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So the man that is doubting shall not receive. But the God that is giving, we give. Are you following me this morning? So your faith is for you to receive what God already gave. Are you following this morning? So you come with faith. Because faith will help you receive all the supplies. We've been praying. By our prayers, we've prayed out many supplies in this place. Yeah. We break that many supplies. Angels already on standpoint, waiting. On standby. Are you following me, somebody? Now, when you now come in, the amount to which you will draw or carry will now be faith. Are you following me? You know, in Numbers 13, we read the story of how Moses sent the 12 spies to go spy out the land. Now, 10 came back with doubt. 2, Joshua and Caleb came back with faith. Do you remember that? Now, do you observe, before God sent them out, He already promised them the land. Their response to that visit was not going to change whether God would give them the land or not. But people that were in doubt, they not get the land. So it wasn't Joshua and Caleb's faith that made God give the land. It was their faith that made them enter the land that God has given. Are you following me this morning? So faith does not cause God to give. God is a giver. He's benevolent. But you see, your faith will cause you to receive. Someone say, what causes God to give? His character. He's a good God. He's a giver. Are you following me? As you're walking on Thursday, healing is waiting here. Supply is waiting here. Things are here. You get the point? Spiritual growth, edification of them are waiting. Now, when you now come with expectation and your faith, you can now carry as much as you want. And as we begin to wind down, I'd like you to see. Don't say, sir, this faith, how do I do it? Faith is not just in the heart. Faith is visible. Faith can be seen. Yeah. You know, in Acts chapter 14, verse 7, Paul was preaching the gospel in verse 7 and verse 8. There was a certain man there who was crippled. I've taught from this scripture a lot. From his mother's womb, he was impotent. He has never walked. And verse 9, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving. So Paul saw this man and perceived this man had faith. So his faith was visible. So there was something that man was doing. Maybe the way he was listening. Maybe the way he was behaving. Paul saw faith. Faith can be seen. Faith can be seen. In Mark 2 verse 1, the same story, the same example. Mark 2 verse 1, again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, in verse 2. And straightway many were gathered together, in so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word, so everything was packed out. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and they broke it open and laid down the sick person. Verse 5 is where I'm going to. When Jesus saw, what did he see? Their faith. So faith can be seen. Are you following me this morning? He saw their faith. So you see, when we come to Zoe, we can pick people that have faith, because faith can be seen. Are you following me? And I'll show you some of the ways you see faith. One of it already is Romans chapter 10. It says the faith of God speaketh in this wise. So faith speaks. Romans 10 verse 6. Faith speaks. The righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. So faith is a speaking thing. It speaks to places. It speaks in the heart. It speaks in the mouth. So for instance, as the way is coming, what are you saying? If you have faith, you must be talking. Oh, as I'm returning from this meeting, my life is changing. As I'm returning from this meeting, my account balance is better. I'm going to come back stronger. This is my prayer life that is doing help like this. It's going to get better. You'll be saying those things before you come. And even in the meeting. Yeah. Faith can be seen. But it's not just in speaking. It's not just in speaking. Go back to that Matthew 9 verse 20. Ooh, glory. Bible said Jesus, the woman had faith. But how did she have faith? Behold, the woman which was this tradition of blood 12 years came behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch. So she was, you see, the first thing we see about her faith, of course, was that she took a step. Faith takes a step. And I'm just going to go and touch. I want to do something. As you're in this meeting, there are steps that God will lead you to take right in the meeting. Sometimes he will say, lie down. Sometimes he will say, kneel down, raise up your hand. So that's just take a step. Faith takes a step. You know, go to chapter 15, verse 21. Faith is seen. Then Jesus went thence and departed on the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Continue. And behold, a woman, I love this one very well. A woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. So Jesus, the woman shouted, Jesus snubbed her. Now I want you to see where I'm going to. Faith has an attitude. Faith is determined. Faith is stubborn. Faith is determined. It's not this one. Jesus said, I received it. It did not come. And he answered not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. Even the minister said, I pursue this one. Because she's crying after us. Send her away. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lordship of the house of Israel. So he was telling the woman, it's only the house of Israel I'm sent to. And she came and worshiped and saying, Lord, help me. Now look at Jesus' answer. He answered and said, it is no meat for me to take the children's bread. And cause it to talk. So Jesus called that a dog, literally. So in this context, you are like a dog. Because what was he saying? The woman was a Canaanite woman. She was a Gentile. This healing, for now, Jesus said, I'm sent to minister to Israel for now. So I can't take what is meant for Israel and give to an outsider. You would have thought the woman would say, oh wow, I understand. Okay. Maybe when is now my time? When will you die and rise again? Okay, after you die and rise again, I can now come, right? Okay, so they would have told me this very clear to me now. Look at what happened. She said, truth, Lord. So he said, yeah, you are right. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. He said, I agree, I'm a dog. But even dog, when crumbs fall, dogs pick it. In other words, she was saying, call me a dog. Whether I'm eating from the plate or from the pot or from the floor, I'm going to eat. Are you following me, somebody? That's faith. Faith is determined. Faith is stubborn. It's not like they say, oh, okay, you mean it's not my turn? Oh, wow. If I had known, they didn't tell me. Look at what Jesus said in verse 28. The thing shocked Jesus, said, oh woman, great is thy faith. Like, the thing mad Jesus. Like, wow, what faith? Faith can be seen. It's determined. Somebody is saying to God, in this way, this addiction is going to fall off me. So, yeah, the third day, the thing is still there. You see him, he said it's under the seat. Carabata, I can't carry it and leave this hall. Are you following me, somebody? Said, I'm going to get healed. Healing line finished. You still have your own sickness. He said, yeah, maybe it's not my turn. You know, this God, there are times and seasons. Faith doesn't talk like that. Faith talks in the now. It's my day. It's my season. It's my day. It's my season. It will not happen in the future. It's happening today. Today is my receiving day. Today is my day of change. Today is my day of blessing. It's not tomorrow. She said, today. Bible said her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Are you following me? Faith can be seen. I've gone to meeting and I see people that have faith. You see, let me even say this to you. Some can fake it. But even during an impartation, if you're a man of God and you've ever done impartation, you can smell people's faith. There are some that as you are coming to them, you already know that the expectation has met impartation. You just see that faith. Oh, glory. You're walking with faith. So Jesus, she was determined and stubborn. Let me show you one more before we close. Luke 18, verse 35. Woo! From the rising of the sun to the setting
of the same.
Yes.
Be praised, great Jehovah, great I am.
This again, from the rising,
from the rising of the sun
to the setting of the sea.
Great Jehovah, great I am.
Great mercy,
great
When faith comes to receive, it doesn't turn back. It doesn't say, oh, you didn't give me. Oh, has the food finished? I'll come back next year's away. Mm-mm. Look at this. He gave the pass as he was come nigh unto Jericho. A certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. So he heard something. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Many things would try to say, I beg not today. You overdoing this thing. Bible said he cried so much the more. That's faith. He's stubborn. All this, nothing is working. You know, some of us are in November and we've resigned already, waiting for 2024. Whereas everything God said to you for this year has not happened. Such unbelief. You're already in November saying, 2024, it got better. What happened to this year? You cry out some more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, you shut up. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, you're stopping everybody. Thou son of David. That's me. Woo, my ministry must change in some way. And it must change. So I'm going to be stubborn until I see it. Until I see it. Until I see it. Until I see it. Yahweh, Yahweh. I've come to commune with my Father. I'll pray, thy will be done. Oh Yahweh, Yahweh. I'll pray. Until I see, thy will be done. Oh Yahweh. I'll pray. So shut up your mouth. Jesus, he cried him all. Hey, keep quiet. He cried him all. Who is that person talking? He said, Jesus. And when Jesus said, Jesus saw his face too. So faith can be seen. He said, another one has faith. Let him come. So where is coming? We can come here and waste our time for 4 days. But faith can be seen. Faith can be touched. Faith can be felt. Faith will be seen in that brother that comes in early and sits down and wants to drink everything, and the meeting is ending and he has not seen what he came to see. His head is under the seat and he's still going He's still going. I need you to pray. message. Just pray. Oh, Embrebe. Whatever it is God needs to give you. Some of you, so when we change the course of your ministry, the course of your calling, some of your finance will take off. You see that account that is shining red, shut everything down by Wednesday. Come here by Thursday. Let's see if there is a God in heaven. You see that your head has a wish to shift, shut everything down. Come here on Thursday. Let's see if there is a God in heaven. For indeed, there is a God in heaven. That job that has not come, shut everything down and come. I'll pray. Until I see, thy will be done. Oh Yahweh. In a meus of the moves on a day. Oh, the whole day. I'm like 5 more minutes. Take it. In a meus of the whole day. In a meus of the moves on a day. Oh, the old day. Why, let me hear you sing it together. In a meus of the moves on a day. Just pray. Oh, the old day. In a meus of
the moves on.
Yes. I heard it again, my spirit. Sing it again.
In a
Aya.
Jesus. Father, our hearts are open for what you will do, but let it even start here. Let from this meeting, let Zoe start. Let people begin to have encounters. Let people begin to have supplies from here throughout this week as they leave. Let them, you are in the season already, Lord. And so let that glory cloud begin to supply. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Woo, are you ready? Thursday is going to be amazing in this place. That's what in my spirit, just as we pick it. Just keep playing that. Okay, I've seen it. I've given this one before, but it's just coming fresh again. Someone is in a place. You put in a lot of work there. And then when you are done, somehow the reward doesn't come to you. They pass that reward to another person. You do the work, someone gets rewarded. And it's been disturbing you. Look at what the Lord said. To survive a man in his course, the Lord does not approve of it. So listen. By this week, what is due you comes to you. There is someone here under the sound of my voice. Between now and Sunday, I hear the Lord saying you'll be paid arrears of what has been owed. Listen and not forget it. Because we will rejoice to that. Down in my heart,
I have a joy that will never end.
Deep down my soul,
I have a joy that will never end.
The angels are singing,
Lord, you are worthy. Your reign will never end.
We join the angels,
sing hallelujah.
Deep down my soul,
I have a joy that will never end.
The angels are singing.
The angels
That's so we they run up. Are you ready for Thursday? Aya! Aya! Hey!
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.